You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Always Aggravated. A Mike Valenti signature podcast.
All right, so this week on Always Aggravated, we got a good one. Yes, we will do our deep dive into the NFL draft, and not grades, but just winners, losers, conversation. And then speaking of conversations, yes, we sat down with NBC Sports' Eddie Olczyk, preview the Kentucky Derby, talk about his story, how he fell in love with the game, even asked a couple of hockey questions for the puckheads that are out there. So sit back and enjoy. It's Always Aggravated. As a part of this week's podcast, I'm very excited. I have my notes. I've got a fresh and crisp Sharpie. And I don't believe in draft grades. I think draft grades are silly. Now, I can tell you things I like and don't like. But assigning a grade to it? No. So I'm going to go winners, losers. And look, here's how it works. Really, really simple. Winners, to me, show the ability to identify value, a willingness to go up and get the guy they want, a willingness to trade down and add value, a willingness not to reach. It's the appropriate pick at the appropriate time. They pick guys in positions that even if you don't know the player, it makes sense. It's got to be a comprehensive win. Losers do the opposite. They reach. They make silly moves. They take guys that make you scratch your head, both positionally and but who the hell the guys are? Hey, look, 5 years from now, sure, maybe this will sound dumb, maybe not, but I don't know. We've always done a good job with it. I can't do a deep dive like this on the air, so it felt right to kind of do it here. So let's rock and roll. I want to start out with winners. We'll start out on a positive note, even though at the time of taping right now, it is 41 degrees and freezing rain in this hellhole that we live in. Mike, of all the warm places on Earth, why? How do we live here?
Can summer just get here, man? That's my thing. Come on.
No, but there's no... See, this is what pisses me off. There's no spring. Spring is a myth.
That's
all
ridiculous.
All these idiots who say, I love the four seasons. That's why I came back to Michigan. There is no four seasons. Spring is 3 days, and then, boom, summer.
Miserable.
Spring to me should be like 60, sunny. How many 60 to 65 degree days and sunny do we get a year here? Four?
Not
five?
A lot. Not a lot at all.
Right. So they can take spring, they can roll it up nice and tight, and shove it up their ass.
And then, you know, it'll be 33 degrees, then it'll be 70 degrees. It just doesn't make any sense. I was supposed to golf this weekend, Saturday morning, and I look at the forecast, it's 37 and raining. Yeah. I'm like, you know what? No.
You like that? The week of the Kentucky Derby, and it's 37 and raining. God almighty. All
crazy.
Right. Let's start out with our winners. And I'm going to start out with one that not a lot of people are giving them credit for. How about the Miami Dolphins? For one, I like the players they selected. Now, 13 overall with Christian Wilkins. There were plenty of times this year Wilkins was better than Cleveland Farrell, better than Dexter Lawrence. Wilkins is a big-time defensive tackle that gives you a little bit of everything. I like that pick, right? Then they get the guard out of Wisconsin, Michael Dieter. Run blocker, power guard. Later on, they added Isaiah Prince out of Ohio State, a little bit of an underachiever in the fourth round, it's the sixth round, but a guy that will add to that offensive front. I like what they did, but you go, geez, that doesn't sound that great. The biggest thing they did was trade a third round pick and acquired Rosen. This is what I don't get about teams. Now, look, maybe Josh Rosen's just an insufferable dick. Maybe that's the problem. I don't know that. I mean, you hear it. You've heard about it. But for the Dolphins, with no quarterback, all they've got right now is what used to be Ryan Fitzpatrick, who apparently now has added 40 pounds. For a third-round pick, you've just added the number one QB in this class, because if he came out, he would have been ranked ahead of Kyler Murray. Arizona's paid him all the bonus money. You get a potential franchise quarterback for a grand total of $6 million. Not a year. $6 million total over 3 years. And because Arizona fucked it up so bad, all you had to do was give up a third and a fifth. And I think Arizona had a fifth in there. The bottom line is, it's a win-win. Now, what happens if Rosen sucks? Dolphins go 2-14. He's terrible. He's a dick. The whole locker room hates him. It makes him wish Cutler were back. Does having Rosen stop you from taking Jake Fromm or Justin Herbert or Tua? Nope. But you know what Miami just got? A lottery ticket. That if it works, and if Rosen's good, you know what happens when you're 2-14 next year? You keep Rosen, and every team in the league will be tripping over their dick to trade up to get one of those quarterbacks. And you know what you just did? You're going to let the candy pour from the skies. You open your mouth and Skittles fill it up. I thought Miami was brilliant. And I don't know where the fuck the rest of these teams were. That's not just old Mike's a bitter Giants fan. No, the Giants should be raked over the coals. For a third round pick, you could have added Josh Rosen. Instead, we know what the Giants did. We'll get to them later. But how were there not a list, Mike, of let's say 10 teams where you go, okay, it's clear Arizona has screwed the pooch on this. For a third round pick, we can go get this kid.
Well, it's because teams are scared. And they're also, sometimes teams overvalue these picks where they think that a third round pick is somehow better than Josh Rosen and it just wouldn't make any sense. It's just it's a lack of an ability to just jump in the water and try something.
But like what, how could you sit there if you're, okay, great example. You're a team like Cincinnati. You didn't re-sign Andy Dalton. You have no answer there, but Dalton can be your guy. How do you not bring in Josh Rosen for a third round pick to compete with Dalton for the starting job this year? And it's the same goddamn principle. If Rosen's good, you don't need any of those guys next year. And if he sucks, he's a dick, you want to launch him out of a cannon, great. I'm going to go and draft those guys. I don't understand it. It almost makes me feel like in a secret world, is Josh Rosen like a member of the cartel? Has Josh Rosen, you know, did he once kill a man in the wild, wild west? What is going on with this kid?
But hasn't this become a theme, though, in the NFL? Even so, more so the past year or so? Look at Khalil Mack. Look at Antonio Brown. Look at Odell Beckham. You have all these trades go down, and you realize what these teams are giving up for it, and it doesn't make sense.
I don't get it. Let me get on to another winner here. This one makes me sick to say it, but you know what, Mikey? It's the Patriots. Tell me how many times you sat there and you go, yeah, that makes sense. Wow, that's a good pick. Oh, yeah, that guy's still out there. The Patriots, they personify control. They have complete control of the draft, of the flow of information, of the information they get, and of value. It's remarkable. They didn't even want to stay at 32. All reports are the Pats wanted to trade out of the first round. But people were smart enough. We're not dealing with these guys. At 32, they took N'Keal Harry.
Yep.
Not a reach. Kid who could have easily gone in the first round higher. Big-bodied, physical. I don't know, maybe an Anquan Boldin comp. Nice. Replace some of the physicality of Gronk, albeit different position. But N'Keal Harry. Okay. The other thing, too, and you know what happened here. And I've read this multiple places. You know who one of Bill Belichick's best friends is?
Who?
Herm Edwards.
Okay.
Herm Edwards is N'Keal Harry's head coach.
Yeah, at ASU, right?
If you don't think Belichick had long conversations about N'Keal Harry, knowing what they're getting, knowing how they're going to use him, knowing what kind of kid he is, you're crazy. They take Jawan Williams, the corner out of Vandy, productive, quality player, could have been a late first-round pick. Where do they get him? High second. Oh, wait, look. Huh. There the Pats are at pick 77 in the third round. Chase Winovich.
Perfect
Michigan.
Fit.
Perfect fit. Edge rusher, hard worker, high motor. Did you hear the cut when he was asked about how he felt about going to the Patriots in the draft process? Did you see what Chase's answer was?
No, I didn't see that one.
He's already a Patriot. I'll have to get back to you to let you know what I'm allowed to say and not say.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, perfect. But they get Winovich there. They get Damian Harris from Alabama, the power running back. Now compliment Sonny Michel. Have that little thunder and lightning routine. You go, geez. Oh, but they're not done. Because the next two picks are the most Patriot pick of all. And they're perfect. Watch. Watch the two names I say to you right now. Watch them both be like awesome offensive linemen in 2 years. They went out and got Kajust, the kid from West Virginia, to tackle. Then they got the Swedish kid, Froholt from Arkansas, who I'm pretty sure Michigan State recruited. Bottom line, he went to Arkansas, productive interior lineman. Why would I be excited about those? Two words, Dante Scarnecchia. If you don't know who Dante Scarnecchia is, look it up, because that's the Patriots' O-line coach. And year in, year out, they take dudes, mid-rounds, and all of a sudden, those are the guys that your team is overpaying for in free agency. So you sit here and you go, Harry improves them immediately. Juwan Williams is going to start immediately. Winovich, third downs minimum immediately. Damian Harris, immediate compliment to your running back, right?
Yep.
Oh, and now I got two project offensive linemen, one outside, one inside, both with major physical tools that I hand to the magician, Dante Scarnecchia. Boom, 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 boom. Mike, I'm six picks deep. I'm in love with their draft.
It's unbelievable. They find a way to do this every year. You know that those guys will turn out to be good players.
It's unbelievable, but it just, Mike, at every turn, it's like they just do the right thing. They know how to get guys, identify the right guys, put them into their system, do it at the right spots in the draft. And again, this is a draft where moving down made sense. There was a glut of good players. Maybe what everyone considered 85 good players. I feel like the Pats got 5-6 of them.
Yeah.
Makes me sick.
They always find a way to reload, too. They're going to be right there next year. I think they'll be, without question, a Super Bowl team next year.
All right, a quick break just to talk about our launch sponsor. It's the D Las Vegas. You're looking to get away, relax, have a good time. D Las Vegas has everything you need. I mean, hell, we're there every March for March Madness. And as I've said before, there ain't no better setup. On the strip, off the strip, it don't matter. Go to the D, go to that chalet upstairs, and ain't nothing better. Bottom line, next time you go to Vegas, check out thed.com. Completely renovated. Downtown is not what you remember. Hell of a lot of new places. It's a damn good time. There's really no other way to put it. And again, the D has everything you need. You're not going to spend a ton of money on the room. Take that money and go do fun things with it. Do what Sully does. Make a bunch of losing basketball bets. For Sully, fall asleep on the horse racing machine on the second floor vintage casino. The bottom line, the D's got it all. They got the sports book. They got the long bar. They got it all. Check it out. TheD.com to book your stay today. It's TheD.com, the D Las Vegas. And as you know, it is your home for Detroit sports in Vegas. Texans, horrible. And it really bums me out because I love Deshaun Watson. They allow the Eagles to steal a Dillard in front of them. They draft Titus Howard, small college kid, high risk, big time, Alabama State. Didn't love it. They come back in round two with Lonnie Johnson, a corner, I guess. Then they go and get Sherping, another small college kid, Northern Illinois, offensive tackle. Mike, I just don't think they did enough to get where they got to go offensively in protecting Deshaun Watson. They drafted two small college kids. I need at least one of them to pan out, probably both. I didn't love their draft, and I'm sorry, you guys can call me out on this. You can't give me a draft where you're drafting almost exclusively non-Power 5 kids. I don't like it. You're being too cute to me. The best players in college generally play at the big schools, and if your draft features Alabama State, Northern Illinois, San Diego State, Central Michigan, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, you're getting a little too goddamn cute to me. I need some quality up top. I give you another team I hated. And I know it's cliche, but, what are the Raiders doing? Seriously, what are the Raiders doing?
What, are they firing all the scouts and then figuring out this is the best route to go?
Yeah, here. I'm going to fire all the scouts. Then we're going to take Cleveland Farrell, number four overall.
Yeah, Farrell made no sense.
Who was taking Cleveland Farrell in the top 10?
I was stunned when I saw that.
Got to move down there. And again, this is what John Gruden is. John Gruden. It's not fake. He's a maniac. 24, they take the running back. Now, I love Josh Jacobs. I really, really do. But after you reached at four, don't you feel like they could have gone a different direction at 24? 27, I like the player. Not sure about the spot, but Jonathan Abram, Mississippi State, physical, brings the wood. Then the second round, they take a guy who everywhere I looked had a fifth round grade in Travion Mullen, the corner from Clemson. They take him at number 40 overall. You know, Max Crosby, small college, Eastern Michigan at 106, another reach there. I'll be honest. I thought their draft sucked. There's no other way for me to put it. You had seven of the top 137 picks. How do you end up with this collection of players?
And more importantly, was it four of the top 40?
One, two, three. Yes, Mike.
You have four of the top 40 picks. You have to try to mess that up.
No,
I You have to really, really try to just screw it up.
They did. And then I'll give you another draft I hated. And I know on our show Friday, I defended the first round pick, and I understood it. I like TJ Hockenson. He's one of the most complete tight end prospects in over a decade. He has a very unique skill. Most tight ends who block don't catch. Most guys who catch don't block. Today's NFL, it's the way it is. Hockenson's best trait might be his run blocking. He is a devastating run blocker. I know that. So why would you take it at eight? Look, man, he's unbelievable. And if you didn't take him at eight, he was going at nine. And you're lucky he didn't go at seven. But the rest of the Lions draft, this is the same Bob Quinn shit I'm seeing every year, and it's driving me nuts. And I understand some people are like, well, look, they're getting better. They're getting some players who hang around. Quinn's not bad. Yeah, but I don't know that Quinn's good. You have to draft Pro Bowlers, right? This is Quinn's, what, fourth draft? How many Pro Bowlers Bob Quinn drafted? How many Pro Bowlers? You going to sell me a punt returner and Agnew?
Yeah, Jamal Agnew would be the only All-Pro,
Give me starting 22 Pro Bowlers you've drafted. Zero. Now, look. Second round, they draft a kid who had a fourth, fifth round grade in Jelani Tavai, a kid from Hawaii. You know, a safety in Will Harris from BC. They go Austin Bryan, who I don't mind, from Clemson. But again, like, what are we doing here? I mean, Travis Fulgham, a small college wideout in the sixth. They finally get around to taking a running back when I think it's a way bigger need. They get Ty Johnson, a kid from Maryland. Just for shits and giggles, they take another tight end in Isaac Nauta. And Nauta was a bust as a recruit. He was one of the top 10 players in America, number one tight end, never productive at Georgia.
And they're sold on him. When you read the quotes, they thought that that was just a steal.
But how many fucking tight ends do I need? Yeah. You know, you used a third-round pick on Michael Roberts. You went out and signed Jesse James. You drafted Hockenson. They still don't have receivers I care about after Galladay and Jones. They didn't address the offensive line. You lost an All-Pro in T.J. Lang. You don't draft a single guard in the draft. Mike, I'm sorry. The second-round pick at 43 is a puzzler to me. The third-round pick at 81 with Will Harris, I mean, I guess. Luxury there, though, is a third safety. You're going to draft a tight end at eight. I need you to clean up on everything else, and I just don't think they did it. I thought the Lions draft was a complete bummer for me.
That's a term we're all sick of hearing, right? Patriot way. They're trying to be the Patriots. They're trying to be too cute.
Hold on. Can I do this?
Drafting small school wide receivers.
And yes, people.
Tight ends.
I do the base show without notes, but for a pod like this, I like to have the notes. All right, you want to say the Lions are trying to be the Patriots. Ready? Here we go. You got, at eight, Hockenson, 43, Tavai, 81, Will Harris, 117, Austin Bryant, and we'll throw in the fifth-round pick, Amani Oruwariri Zabidi-Doo, whatever the hell his name is, from Penn State. Again, I whatever. The Patriot way, right, Mike? N'Keal Harry, Juwan Williams, Chase Winovich, Damian Harris, Kajust, Froholt. Mike, they're nowhere close.
Well, no, I mean,
Everything the Pats did fits. Everything fits their system, what they're doing. It made sense where they did it. They didn't take a single guy where I go, who the fuck is that? Or why is he taken here? The Lions go at round two at pick 43. And if they wanted to vie, how do you not move down? How do you not move down? I mean, they're at pick 43. They should have taken Juwan Williams out of Vanderbilt. They should have been the team taking him and starting him opposite Slay.
They're clearly trying to draft this scheme that they're sold on.
It's too cute. I mean,
but drafting, you know, a few picks away from Greedy Williams, you don't take him. Next round, okay,
right.
Justin Lane's on the board. You don't take him.
Right.
He gets drafted two picks later.
Everything the Lions do is too cute, but it's indicative of these teams that end up on the loser list. They try to get too cute, be too smart. Let the draft come to you. Just take it. I don't know. I'll tell you. So there you go. Winners and losers. A little bit of a deep dive for you. I'm out of breath.
Okay, now I want to tell you about our good friends over at Copper Craft Distillery. Great, great bourbon. You know what? I can't do the whole presentation here in Mel Kiper's voice, but I do want to tell you about Copper Craft Distillery because they are great. Holland, Michigan, west side of the state of Michigan. Check out Copper Craft Distillery. They're now also at Comerica Park, right field. Got a huge bar up there. If you haven't tried Copper Craft, their products are fantastic. Their bourbon, award-winning bourbon. They have their whiskey. They have gin, vodka, whatever your drink of choice is, you can get it. Stop by your local retail store. Stop by your local party store. Plenty of restaurants now that have Copper Craft as well. And, of course, visit them online, coppercraftdistillery.com. They're also all over social media. Check them out online, social media. You can find them on Twitter, on Instagram, on Facebook. They're everywhere. And take Copper Craft Distillery, take a drink of it, and I know you're going to enjoy it. Copper Craft Distillery over in Holland, Michigan. Check them out today.
NBC Sports, Eddie Olczyk. Eddie, I'm beyond excited to talk to you. I actually get to talk horse racing here. That's like a forbidden fruit out here, so I'm excited.
So yeah, I spent a few days out at DRC back in the day.
Yeah, I know. Unfortunately, the state has done everything wrong and destroyed horse racing out here. But no, I've got some stuff, some fun stories I want to go over with you, and then certainly we'll jump right into the Derby coverage. But I guess start there, because, I mean, you're a Chicago guy. I was born near Saratoga. It was a natural fit for me. But, you know, what was that moment you decided, hey, the ponies are for me. This is my thing.
Well, I mean, as a young kid, I mean, I went to the racetrack, Old Arlington Park in Chicago suburbs, and I went with a hockey teammate of mine when I was 13 years old, and his dad was a horse player, and I went to the track, and I just fell in love with the animal. I mean, just these, you know, 1,200-pound animals, you know, running 35, 40 miles an hour, and just the athleticism and just the beauty of the horse, and, you know, and then you start, you know, you pick up a program and, you know, you start trying to figure out who's going to win and the odds and all that kind of stuff. And, I mean, I say this kiddingly, but, you know, learning about odds and figuring out payouts and all that, I think it did help me in my youth in math class. You know, I tried to sell that to my folks, but, you know, they didn't. They
I was going to say, bring that into math class and say, well, look, Andy Byer says.
Yeah, yeah. And if, you know, if a horse is, you know, if a horse is 5-2 in a 9-horse field, the percentage is the same way. So, you know, I mean, look, I went and I went up to the window and made a couple of bets. I mean, I was a caddy in the summertime. So, I had maybe 25, 30 bucks in my pocket, but, you know, I went to the window and, you know, played a couple of, you know, gimmicks, some exactas, some quinellas, trying to get the top two finishers, and lost my first couple of races. And then I hit one, never forget, for like, it was $108 I hit a quinella. And as I went up to cash my money, I think I invested maybe $6 or $8. The same ticket taker asked me how old I was. I said, "Well, you didn't ask me how old I was when I lost." I said, and then he gave me the quick little wink, and he gave me, you know, gave me the $108, and, you know, I gave him $3, and, you know, and the rest is history. So I mean, I fell in love with it pretty much from the first day I went as a 13-year-old kid.
Eddie, my story is exactly damn near the same thing. It's just more anyone who's fallen in love with the game are people I've brought to the Derby. I've brought to Saratoga, or I've brought to Keeneland. I have to get them there to show them. There's skeptics on the way in, and they're fans on the way out. So my question,
Mike, you know what? It's look at, I love to be right in the middle of both. You know what I think are two of the greatest games there are, and that's hockey and horse racing, pucks and ponies, as I like to say.
Mm-hmm.
It's the same with hockey. Like when I have, in my travels, whether it was as a young kid growing up or playing professionally for 16 years or broadcasting now, or like to tell people, look, I guarantee you go to a hockey game in person.
Yep.
You are hooked. I'm telling you, you will sit there and go, this is the greatest. This is it. Like, well, what doesn't hockey have? And I think horse racing is a lot the same. is once you get people there, and especially on the big days, you know, you mentioned the Derby and going to Keeneland and going to the Spa at Saratoga. And, I mean, those are, you know, those are primo places. But if you could get people there, I guarantee you they go back a second, third, fourth, 500th time. That's just the reality. And I don't think there's any different. I don't think it's any different when it comes to the game of hockey.
No, it's a great point, and you're right. It's just so. I guess the question then for me would be this, because I have grave concerns, as a lot of people do. I don't know where the game's going to be in 10 years. And, you know, look, I'm 38. I'm not dead. And you're certainly still younger. I'm 40, yeah. 53. You're not an old man by any stretch. But the next generation, I don't know where horse racing's going to be. I mean, where do you think it is in 10 years?
I would imagine there'll be fewer tracks.
Fewer days, too.
Probably fewer days. That's very fair. But when you look at the numbers of people that are employed in the game, I just know in the state of Illinois, I think there's, like, when you talk about everything involved with horse racing.
Sure.
You know, from farms to people in the feed business to, you know, the people at the track and whatever. I mean, it's just the state of Illinois. I mean, you're looking at 20,000 people employed in the horse racing thoroughbred industry. Now, that's just one state. So it's a big part of our economy, and it's a big part of our country. And in some places, like, you know, you talk about, you know, New York, and you talk about Kentucky and Florida and California. I mean, it's a pretty big business. And, you know, I just know, being a part of our NBC coverage, Mike, over the last 4 years, this will be my fifth Derby. When I go there and I see, over the course of 3 days, because you have Thursday Thurby,
yep,
then
Oaks.
You have Friday the Oaks, and then you have, of course, you know, the big day on Saturday. I mean, you're looking at 350,000 people coming from all over to see horse racing for 3 days. Now, the key is are 50% of those people, do they go back? What is the percentage? So, you know, and it is a young crowd. It is a young demographic. So those are the people you got to start going to. And I think now is there's an opportunity for horse racing, especially with the world, you know, the World Wide Web thing we have, and, you know, the phones and the, you know, it's just like, you know, people want action, people, and now gambling is everywhere we turn. Sports gambling is everywhere. I think there's an opportunity for horse racing to sell hard. But to get those people out there, and, you know, look, I mean, yeah, am I scared a bit about the game? Yeah, I am. But I think there's an opportunity here to continue the strength, because when you look at the wagering dollars, you look at the attendance on our biggest days.
Oh, it's unbelievable.
They're off the charts. So there's got to be an opportunity there, and there's somebody that's a lot smarter than I am to be able to try to figure that out.
You got to make people understand that there's more to it than just the big days. And it's funny. It's something I've always said is, like, if I take somebody to Saratoga, or I take them to the Derby or Pegasus Cup, oh, my God, they'll be a fan for life. If I take them to Ozone Park on a Thursday afternoon in January, they'll never talk to me again. I mean, it's just like...
Yeah, you know, Mike, I'll say this, and I've had this debate and argument many a times, but, like, I just loved it, you know, 4 or 5 years ago where, you know, fantasy sports, oh, this is the greatest thing, you know, like, I'm sitting in my hotel room in Denver, Colorado, and I'm drafting these players, and we put money into this pool, and then it's divvied up amongst the people that are winning. Who has the
That's horse racing?
One. What do you think horse racing's been doing for a million years? Like, what? And I loved how it was. Well, this isn't gambling. This isn't gambling. This is just skill, and this is just my ass. It's not gambling. I mean, it's not. Come on. So it's great. There's opportunities there. But you're right, you know, like, do people go out to Churchill, or do they go out to, you know, Saratoga? Now, that's a little different, because that's a, you know, it's a boutique-y type of meet. But, you know, do those people that go, do they go and just, you know, go with their friends and whatever? And, I mean, so there's lots there, but I'm just hoping that, you know, we can figure this thing out and A, take care of the animals first and foremost, and put a product out there and explain to people that, you know, you can make a lot of money. You don't have to invest a whole heck of a lot.
Well, you get paid for your opinion. You know, it's not minus 110 to win 100. You have an opinion. You will be paid for it. And that's the allure to a lot of people.
You just got to figure it out.
Oh, yeah.
Figure it out.
Well, that's how you lose all your hair, trying to figure it out, staring at the thoroughgraphs. No, you've got a great story, and I don't think a lot of people know it, if you don't mind telling it. But you once took down a pick six at the old Hollywood Park while sitting on an airplane.
Yeah.
Please tell the story.
Yeah, it's going on almost 10 years now. I was on my way home from the NHL Awards where I was a presenter. And at that time, there wasn't, at least I wasn't betting off of my phone. On my phone, I should say, the apps on these phones now. And it was late night racing in California. It was a 9 o'clock post Chicago time, central time. And, my flight ended up being delayed, almost 2.5 hours as I was trying to get home from Las Vegas, to Chicago after the NHL Awards. And, I had handicapped the races that day and, during the delay and on the plane ride home. And, I had blown the pick six because there was a carryover from the Thursday. And then it was the Friday, and I really felt that I should have hit it, and I didn't. And so I went into that, and we landed about 10 minutes before the start of the pick six. Excuse me. And I got on my phone. I called my ExpressBet account, and I put in my wager for $168. And I had my son, my youngest son, Nick, was at home. I said, hey, pop in a blank VCR. I'm showing my age here, Mike. I pop in a blank VHS tape and tape the races from Hollywood Park. And I'll watch the first couple of races that I missed because we had just landed and got to get my bag and whatever. And then I'll, watch the rest live. So long story short, I didn't get home for about an hour and a half, and a couple of the races had already gone off. And I walked in, and the one horse that I had singled in my pick six. So I had 100, technically I had 100, I had 84 combination with a $2 wager. And in the third leg of the race of the pick six, I singled one horse that ended up going off at 17-1.
Oh.
And I walked in the door, I watched the race, and it was a horse trained by Neil French. I think the name of the horse was Streets of Heaven. And he came, he looked like he was shot out of a cannon. I mean, he looked like Pavel Datsyuk as a young guy in the NHL, just flying through everybody. And he won the race. And I'm like, holy cow, I got my single home.
And you got everybody else out of the pool.
Yeah, exactly. I go back and watch the first two races. I get the favorite home in the first, and I get like a 5-1 in the second. So now I'm 3-3 with a 17-1 in the middle. And, they got another 5-1, another 9-2. And then in the last race, I was alive to 7 of the 9 horses. 4 of them were the whole pool, which was $1.5 million. And one other one, the 10 horse, happened to be 9-2. And I was one of 3 winners that were able to cash in for 500 G's. So $168 investment got me 500 grand. And as I said then, and I said now, as I'm saying now, Mike, it got me even. That's all I will say. It got me even. but it was a great day, and so that airplane ride seemed to do the trick. Maybe I do my best work at 32,000 feet.
All right. Well, look, we can get into the Derby because I've got a lot, and I know time is limited. But you look, this Derby to me, unless I'm nuts, this is one of the most wide open ones I've seen in at least 5 years. Agree?
Yeah. I can't argue that. I could make a case right now for 8 horses.
Ooh.
And I'm on the side of the fence that feels, Mike, that there's a little bit more speed in this race than a lot of people are suggesting. So what does that say? Speed, pace makes the race. The quicker they go, the better chance you have a horse that's sitting in behind the speed.
Who's going to get Omaha Beach? I thought he was the only early speed, but you've intrigued me now.
Security's going to go. I think Maximum Security's going to go. I think Pacoma's going to go. I think War of Will is going to go. I know the post position draw was earlier on Tuesday. I thought I saw War of Will was on the rail, and he's been training very well. He's going to go. So, I think that there is enough speed here with the way things have kind of played out. I think Omaha Beach can stalk. I really do. I don't know if he is good on a fast track as he is, Mike, on a off track. I think he's a better horse on an off track. I think he runs better on an off track. There is a chance for all kinds of rain in Kentucky all week long. Look, we had enough rain last year to last us a lifetime.
I know.
We got 3.5 inches of rain on Derby Day, the wettest Derby in history. So I'm hoping it's, I'm hoping it's dry. I'm hoping it's fair. But I think there's more speed in here. Like, I don't think Omaha Beach gets the lead. I really don't.
Interesting.
I really don't. If he does, I think that would be, I don't look at, am I going to use Omaha Beach? I'll probably use them for third and fourth. I'm not picking them first or second on any of my tickets. I've been a roadster guy since the end of last year. I actually got roadster at 24-1 back in February. I got him at 16-1 in March. He looks like he's probably going to end up being 6 or 7-1. So, as you know, the gambling aspect and the handicapping aspect, well, if you've already bet a horse at 24 and 16-1, why would you bet him at 6 or 7? And that is true. I probably will use him in my gimmicks, but considering the chair I sit in and I have to pick a horse, if the race was tomorrow, fast track, and that's the caveat, I would go with Roadster. I think that he will get the perfect trip in this mile and a quarter. And yes, it's Bob Baffert looking for a 6th Kentucky Derby. But I think there's more pace in this race than people think. And I think you're going to have a couple of horses that are going to sit and make a run. And I think he got a real big shot of having somebody that could be north of 30-1 hitting the board, because I think this race has a chance to collapse down the lane.
Finally, the days are getting a little longer around here. Put those extra hours of sunlight to work by saving you more money. You can reduce your power bill with help from Power Home Solar, the number one residential solar provider in Michigan, one of the top solar installation companies in the nation. Power Home installs American-made panels, 30-year warranty, allowing you to own your power, not just rent it from the power company. As an official partner of the Lions, the company installed solar panels at Ford Field and Allen Park, and they seek to continue building a movement towards cleaner, greener energy by seeing if solar is right for your home. Go to powerhome.com. That's powerhome.com, or give them a call, 1-800-SOLAR-15, to schedule your free solar consultation today. Don't rent your power, own it, with help from Power Home Solar. All right, let's unpack this, because you've got me very excited over here at a couple of things. One is, of the three Bafferts, I like Roadster the best, but here's my one concern. So let's start here. I thought Roadster was cranked up for the Santa Anita Derby. Game Winner wasn't. I just got a feeling like clearly Game Winner pointed towards here. Is there any concern that maybe Roadster already ran his best race?
I don't believe so. Okay. I really don't. I think that when you look at the body of work in 2019, I thought Game Winner had every chance to beat Roadster. I thought Game Winner had a chance to win in Arkansas. He did not. I would look at it as, maybe Game Winner has peaked. Maybe his time was at the end of last year, and Roadster is the now horse. I mean, people go back and look at some of the comments by Bob Baffert, and just looking at, Roadster seemed to be the Game Winner if he was healthy. And we know Game Winner won the 2-year-old championship. Now, one thing I will say about Game Winner, Mike, I'm going to use him. I have to use him because he's won over the track. He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year on this track at Churchill. So
horse for the
I
course.
Like that angle with Game Winner. But on the, right on the line, and I would look at it and go, I like Roadster as well. I do. I don't think Roadster was fully cranked for the Derby. I really don't.
Okay.
I really don't. And he ran off the screen. Now people will argue, he's not going to be able to do it in back-to-back races. There's a bounce theory, all that kind of stuff. But I'll take my chances if everything is fast and firm on Saturday and say that Roadster is, at least right now, is better than game winner. But look, if I'm using game winner, I'm sorry, if I'm using Roadster, or if you're using game winner, I think you got to use Roadster and vice versa, just because they were so close in the Santa Anita Derby, and I think both horses. I think both horses are bred to go the distance. I know Roadster is for sure, 100%. Like Roadster, I think, regardless of what happens here, if he doesn't hit the board or he runs okay, I would not be surprised to see Bob pass on the Preakness and then run him in a mile and a half, because I think Roadster can run up. Roadster can run 3 miles. I think he's bred to go the distance, but I don't think he's fully cranked yet.
No, now, and I look, you and I are in lockstep. Of the three, I have Roadster 1, Game Winner 2, Improbable a distant third of the Baffords. It's just my opinion. Now,
no argument.
My problem is something you brought up, and I have gotten destroyed the last 5 years on Derby Day. I hate betting the chalk. I hate using the short prices. And you know what I know. I mean, it's like Pletcher Velasquez at the Spa. You're never seeing better than 3-1. Right. You know Baffert's going to get bet down. We know Omaha Beach will get bet down.
Yeah, Omaha Beach is going to be the favorite, Mike. Yeah. There's no doubt in my mind. With Mike Smith having the choice. And again, now, that's another interesting caveat. Mike Smith rode Roadster. And he also rode Omaha Beach. He had his choice.
Correct.
And he chose Omaha Beach. So right there, to me, that will take a lot of the money to Omaha Beach. It doesn't mean Mike's right. I think Omaha Beach is this year's version of. Let me start over. Omaha Beach is an outstanding horse. I think he is better than Exaggerator a couple of years ago. Mm. Exaggerator was a horse. He ran second, ended up running second in the Preakness. Everybody remembers, a couple of years ago. No, he actually won the Preakness and he finished second in the Derby. He's a horse that moved up dramatically. Dramatically on the off track. Way better horse on the off track, Exaggerator was. And I look at Omaha Beach and the races that he's run on a fast track compared to the off track. I think he's I shouldn't say a way better horse, but I'm going to say a WA. Okay, I'm not going to go all the way on way, but I'm going to go woo. I think he's a better horse on the off track. If it's a fast track, I'm going to use them, but I'm going to use them for third or fourth, like I said earlier. I'm not sold on them as much as a lot of people. And look, it's hard to go against a guy like Mike Smith and go, look at the horse that he was riding that I liked. He jumped off and decided to go to Omaha Beach. That would tell you, well, geez, he thinks that horse is a better horse. And he may end up being that. But I can't bet Omaha Beach is the favorite at 5-1 because I think that's what he's going to be. I think he's going to be 5-1 and everybody else is going to be behind him.
Let me ask you about a couple others. I want to offer you a chance to laugh at me, but this is part of the fun. You had mentioned you think there's a chance for a bomb to hit the board. I will offer you who I like. You can tear it to shreds or agree, and then I want to hear yours. I hate the post, but whatever. What about Spinoff, Pletcher, Manny Franco? At one point, this was one of the best that Todd had. Horse took a long time off, rounding into form. Am I nuts for thinking Spinoff could be the type of horse to crash the party?
No, I don't think so. Love the connections. You're right, slow to develop. I mean, things are going to have to materialize, I think, perfectly for Spinoff. I would never talk anybody off a horse that's going to be, what would you think, Mike, 40-1?
Oh, sure. You know things are going to drift on the back end. Oh, yeah.
Right.
This will be a big price.
So, look, I would never. Look at horses don't know their odds. Anybody could suck up for third or second, you know, if it really kind of would really kind of crash. And the one horse I will give you, if you don't mind,
is
And somebody had reminded me this morning, is like, you got big skates to fill from last year. I said, what are you talking about? He said, well, you gave out Good Magic, you gave out Justify, and you gave out Audible in the pouring rain. You happened to hit the trifecta. I said, that's right. Thanks for reminding me. I got to get up in front of 20 million people and try to recapture what I did.
You're also the guy who debuted on television giving out a 10-1 followed by a 15-1 back in 06. I mean, give me a break.
Every once in a while, a squirrel finds a nut. So, but, you know, look, I'm looking at this race, and again, how I handicap, you know, the speed aspect of it, breaking it down. Where do I think it's gonna, you know, where do I think the pace is gonna be, you know? So all that kind of stuff plays into it. But I look at a horse, and I think just seeing it quickly because I've been running around getting ready to get to Louisville tonight. I saw their post positions, and I thought I saw that long range Toddy. The ended up in post position 18.
Correct.
Now, this is a horse that is going to need things to go his own way. And what I mean by that, all the speed, obviously, with 17 other horses on the inside of Long Range Toddy. The speed, to let the speed go and then get in behind. John Court, the jockey. Steve Asmussen, terrific trainer, still looking for his first Derby. This will be his 20th starter. Long Range Toddy is a horse, and really kind of zeroing in on a bunch of horses here, Mike, over the course of the last couple of weeks. Long Range Toddy is the type of horse that really relishes the inside, meaning loves to be on the rail, likes to be covered up. Now, can he stick handle his way from the 18th post position, going a mile and a quarter, and find a way to get to the rail as they cross the wire for the first time? That's going to be an awful lot to ask. But just as a friend of mine and a guy that I wish I had the chance to play with, always hated playing against him, Marty Lapointe. Marty loved to play on the inside. Like, he had courage. He had heart. He, you know, he did not mind being down there. There are a lot of players that don't like being down there. There are a lot of horses that don't like to be covered up and be on the inside. Long Range Toddy is the type of horse that wants to be down there. And if, and we know what ifs are, if he could find his way to the rail at some point. Now, this is an off look at, he's going to be 35. He's going to be 35 to 1, 40 to 1. If he could somehow find a way to follow Omaha Beach, no, Roadster is right to the inside there. He's going to show some speed to get some position. I don't know if it's possible. I really don't. I don't, but it is the Derby. There might be a lane there for him to get in, get over, and if he could be positioned on the rail as they go under the wire for the first time, he's going to have a quarter mile to be able to figure that out. He's going to be a use for me. You know, he may end up finishing dead last. He might, just because of his post position. But I think he's tactical enough to get out there. And I want to see him making a left turn as quick as he can and get to the rail because he has a lot of courage. I think he's bred to go a mile and a quarter. John Court looking for his first Derby. So is Asmussen, as I said a little bit earlier. So he would be one horse that that is going to be on Eddie Olczyk's tickets. It's a lot to ask, but you got to have some courage. You got to put your plums on the table every once in a while. And if he does and he hits the board and Roadster's on the board, I'm going to need a wheelbarrow to take it out of the Churchill Downs on Saturday, Mike, because that gimmick, regardless of what it is going to pay, and it's going to pay a lot. And I'm hoping that I could get a little lucky with a Long Range Toddy hitting the board.
So don't, obviously, save it for the cameras on Saturday. I don't need the order. But if you got a list, you're super, okay? Four horses make, if you're going to play a super or you're going to play a triple box, give the people your four. I know Roadster will be on there. Go.
Yeah. Roadster, Long Range Toddy, Code of Honor, and Game Winner.
Mm.
Now, people may say, okay, well, you've got Game Winner and Baffert, who will be probably, what would you think, somewhere in between second and fourth choice. Is that fair?
Yeah, fair.
Okay. And then Code of Honor will be every bit of 12 to 1. Every bit of it. So if you're talking a couple of 6-to-1s and a 12-to-1, and by chance, if Long Range Toddy splits any of those horses at 35-to-1, a dollar try box or a super box is going to pay somewhere north of $10,000.
Oh, yeah. If you get Omaha Beach off the board, oh, yes. Please, it'll rain balloons.
Yeah, yeah. So, I mean, long-range shot is going to be the key. Now, I will say this. Now, remember, last year you had, I think, was it Instilled Regard that ran fourth at 85-1?
Yes.
And I think the Super ended up coming back 15 Gs with Justify, Audible, and Good Magic, you know, three of the top five betting choices. So, like I said, anybody can be fourth. But if you happen to get a horse that's, you know, split some of those and finishes third, now you got a chance for this thing to pay, you know, I mean, I'm talking, you know, you're talking 20 grand. I really believe that. I mean, if you get a 35 or 40 to one shot in your superfecta, your top four finishers, and you don't have the favorite in there, you got a chance to get paid. And again, you don't have to spend a whole
night. No, and just to not intimidate people, what I always tell people, whether I'm at the Derby or we're hosting our Derby party, is like, look, don't get scared off thinking you got to pick 17 horses. Pick who you think's going to come in first and second. Do a $2 box Derby day. It'll pay you $500. I mean, the Exacta this year has every right to pay $500.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So I could see. Roadster got post position. I think he got 13. He got 17. Roadster got 17. So a 17-18 exact finish in the Kentucky Derby on Saturday has the chance of paying at least $650.
Minimum.
$2.
Yeah. Now listen.
So if I have a $2,000 one, I will not be working hockey on Sunday. Let me just tell you that.
No, game. I was speaking of odds. By the way, you'll appreciate this. Vegas has put out their Stanley Cup winner updated odds up to the minute. What do you make of the Hurricanes being the favorite at 4-1?
The favorite to win the cup?
I'm not kidding. I have it right in front of me as of right now. Stanley Cup winner updated out of Vegas, 4-1 for the Hurricanes.
Yeah, with all the injuries that they had the other night. I mean, they lost Trevor Van Riemsdyk, who's a terrific defenseman. They lost Mrazek again. I don't know how badly he is hurt. They would not be my favorite. They would not.
Who is yours?
There's no value there.
Give me
no
yours.
Value. There's no value there.
Who's yours? I'll give you the odds.
I would say right now I would probably go with St. Louis.
How does 11-2 sound to you?
Still a little light for my liking.
Okay. I had to mix it in.
But it's better than 4-1. I get it. It's better than 4-1.
All right. Mint juleps, thumbs up or thumbs down?
You're talking to a non-drinker, so double thumbs down.
Okay, best steakhouse on the horse racing road with NBC Sports that you cover.
Oh, wow, that is
I know,
fair.
That's why I asked it.
That is not fair. Oh, man.
I want to see if you and I align on this like we did on Roadster.
You mean on the Triple Crown Trail?
You can pick anywhere on the horse trail.
Oh, on the horse trail. Anywhere on the horse trail. Okay, I will say, I will say the Derby out in Santa Anita.
Okay, you went California. I for me, Tony Steak and Seafood, Lexington.
Okay, can't argue.
No, that's the thing. If you take someone to the track, you know they're going to get a good steak. They just got to go on the damn trip and stop doubting.
Hey, and you know what? The way I always looked at it is, hey, if you blow 500 at the track that day and you go for dinner, you say, hey, my dinner cost me 500.
Eddie, I could talk about it all day. Thank you for the time. On the NBC hockey coverage, on the Triple Crown. You'll see Ed on TV Saturday. I know you'll be out there giving some picks and delighting the masses. Really appreciate you joining us, man.
All right, Mike. Thursday, Friday, Saturday, we got coverage on NBC and NBCSN all weekend long, and then back to pucks after the weekend. So really appreciate the conversation, and we'll like to do it sometime down the road.
Absolutely. Eddie, you're the man.
Thanks.
Take care of yourself.
Thank you.
Bye-bye now. Thanks for listening. And as always, subscribe, share, radio.com, iTunes, wherever you get your podcasts. And we will talk to you next week.